Then I will start again. So, shortly introduction. Yes, sir. Can you, we make a small round to the Jubilee members that are here. What is your role and, what is your role in Jubilee? Who are you? But freelance.
My name is Jesse. I'm the coordinator of Jubilee.
So I'm Vincent, also a member of Jubilee.
I'm Ronnie, also a member of Jubilee.
Yeah, and we are an artist duo as member of Jubilee. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Iswanto, part of Rangrupa, but also part of Jubilee.
So originally, the idea was to have Els Silverens doing the talk with Iswanto, which is sick, as Katrine said. So we had to find a solution yesterday evening, and we decided that the best solution for us was to kind of step on, not on stage because there's no stage, but to be present as a group of artists, also to welcome Iswanto and discuss, open the day with a collective discussion about collective, but also about different kinds of issues or main issue that we wanted to discuss, and enter a little bit some of the aspect, I would say more the general or conceptual aspect of Lumbung. And as Katrine said, there will be different meetings and dialogues where then we can precise. It's very hard because there's a very strong echo. So I don't know if we can solve this or if I prefer to talk loud, but it's going to be hard to keep on working like that. So I don't know. Put that slide on the screen is maybe a start of the discussion possible. That would be a question to Iswanto regarding the semantic of Lumbung. We could say also there's this whole discussion that is already there, very interesting, about the fact that we might refer to Documenta as Documenta 15. That was even a sort of a discussion that popped up when we were in a collective discussion in Antwerp with the artist scene there, and where someone said that it was strange that Documenta would be called Documenta 15 in English, while every other Documenta before managed to kind of circumvent that issue of, the number of the Documenta. For Documenta 10 would be X, that the curators would find some kind of play with the number of Documenta, but that it was said that it was called Documenta 15 in English as a sort of recognition of English as being the main language, while actually it's a very strange way to relate to that, because I think Rangrupa proposed something else, and it started with this idea of the Lumbung, where Documenta 15 is actually in the process of being shaped and programmed, has been somehow renamed Lumbung 1. So Documenta 15 / Lumbung 1, it's better. Thank you for the sound. It's a way to already, for us at least, or for me, if I speak for myself, it was the first sort of very direct I would say very direct question where you have to enter a sort of ethos also of collectivity, a sort of renaming of things that you think you might know, but they are displayed, they are proposed in another way, and somehow all these vocabulary that is there, so we have the common pot, we have the ecosystem, harvest, lumbung, lumbung interlocal, lumbung values there, majelis, maidan, nongkrong, translation. So all this way of, I would say, renaming activities or practice, bringing another semantic to Documenta was a major, I think, a major issue, because it forced or it invited maybe us to reflect on how to approach it. So maybe Iswanto, I think that this is not new at all in Run Grupa. So this is based on a set of values and a set of practice. But maybe it would be interesting to ask you. It was a risky thing, no, to kind of invite people to enter this by sort of not imposing, but still really using on a very daily basis all these words that are also, for some of them, coming from Indonesia or other culture. So maybe a question about that decision to really communicate largely, massively with that vocabulary.
Thank you, Vincent, and thank you for inviting me here. Good morning, everyone. Sound like this. And yeah, I think I just try to elaborate. I think when we about the semantic, but it's interesting for sure when we started also, let's say we start with the numbers, with the 15. But I think we, of course, there are we see all many locals before with those there are with the X, with the, you know, so it's, but for this, I think we don't have any, even not trying to make it as a kind of graphic symbolic, or, you know, so just to mark the edition, let's say 15, which is numbers we try in German, which is very bad, not so good, so complicated, and other language as well, Indonesia also, but it's as, but I think it's as simple as, because it's just marking of the edition, and we don't have any even intention to create a kind of differentiate, like with special. So I think those words and English, of course, it's not that we are emphasizing that the English is, but I think it's just a common sense where, you know, it's because it's mostly more easy to understand by others as where many. So I think that's where we and it's written as like Ruang Rupa, no? So with small capital and no spaces, like how Ruang Rupa was written. So yeah, for this, and it's, thank you, and nice for putting all this. We it's quite interesting to use that lumbung now. It's kind of very used so much I don't know if this even can abuse the word Lumbung itself, you know. So, I mean, for us, I think it's for like, yeah, lots. Of course, there are intention to use this kind because those words which is came from, I think, with the awareness that Indonesian as well is where we are. Here stand for is Indonesian actually is really mixed from because our language is very young, very it just started I think first around 28 the awareness to use to have 1928 to have the one single languages which is based on Malay but it mixed because. There are Arabic, Chinese, Sanskrit, and you know, and Dutch and Portuguese as well. So, and English, of course. So things are mixed up actually in Indonesia. So that's other things. I think those awareness to use it and to show where I mean, because when you read that, there is Majelis, which is of course clearly came from Arabic, but. There are so many things, of course, ecosystem is from English or, and, you know, so nongkrong is locals and so slang and yeah, those terms are really mixed actually, so it's not even, nongkrong is not really Indonesian, but it's slang Indonesian and yeah, so that's how I think. That's how we work as well. I mean, how we are, where we came from, and to use it as well. I think with awareness to not trying to imposing, but I think it's a kind of resistance as well. I think resistance to.
So would you say that in some way we have been used to a vocabulary in the art world, and Documenta is not an exception. It's even the contrary. It's where maybe some concepts have been forged, where or implemented into curatorial project. Even the word Documenta itself is kind of relating to a tradition and to a question where the politics in the art. Are maybe the space where Documenta is maybe the space where politics and the art have been discussing. It's an ongoing process since its creation in 55. But here, somehow, I think that what you propose is a sort of world vocabulary, as you said, like connected with different culture and different origin, and it's somehow also a way to. It seems to me that it was also a way to. Get out of maybe the division or the categories that we have been used to practice also in more in discursive in the discourse of art. So it's kind of bringing us elsewhere, and maybe part of the question today is there a connection to do with former concept or is it something that we might adapt? And that's a question for us, how to adapt what has been lived for us there as an experience. And the use of word is of course, an important dimension in the way to communicate about it. So would you say that it was a way also to kind of break from the usual discourse of art?
It's, as well, I think, also if I try to rethinking again for sure, but I think it's as well what we discussed last night, about the uncertainty, let's say. Because when you, I mentioned, let's say about nongkrong, because nongkrong is as well is, you know, it's to dismantle the structure, I think. Because when you say nongkrong can be a meeting, can be formal, can be normally informal, but of course it's a bit, you know, you don't, let's go nongkrong, but then can be suddenly as well, you know, it's kind of meeting, can be just relax, you hang out without saying, talking about just come. So there are some sense of uncertainty as well there, and as well, I think we are really, I mean, we are quite, when you say about 55, then when we started also, we are, we just simply remember that at the same time, actually, in Indonesia, in Bandung at the time, 1955, there is an Asia-Africa conference which happened at the same year where Documenta started. And which is, I think, those visual images of how actually, you know, the form, the initial form for the non-alignment movement, it started there, and it's a great inspiration to, you know, for us for sure, and if just to think back again, I think those your question, Vincent. I think all of those. I think there are, because when we say Majelis, there are a form of mechanism or structure as well. Actually, it's not a fix like a kind of parliamentary, let's say, but it's you know how to get the consensus together, let's say, by doing the Majelis or the assembly, and I think, yeah, because it's originally from Arabic, maybe even others can help to explain clearly semantically what means in within the context of Arabic society. But for Indonesian, yes, Majelis is a way to find a common sense together and how to decide together, and so those kind of, you know, words as well, it's, I think there are, which is unstructured, dismantle the structure, but there are some mechanism as well, which is and in Indonesia, I think to use this kind of words, we are, for us, I think our generation as well in Ruang Rupa, where we used the power of this semantic words, because Indonesian language, we don't have any structure, actually. We don't have gender, no structure, no past and tense, so you can say, you can use the word, you know, loosely, and you can compose whatever as intention as you want, and it's always multiply, because then not like he and she, then you know it's gender, male or women, female, let's say. But Indonesia, if you say dia, can be, yeah, then we ask dia, is a man or a woman, or who's the name, then you know from the name, you know. So there are multiple interpretation to use the language, and where we actually and how we we work and we think to use this word, and play with it as well to criticize, to make a joke, you know. So
I have a question about Lumbung. I thank you so much for introducing the whole language system in Indonesia. So it reminds me of a kind of Creole thinking, it's called, like that you push against the hierarchies of language by using all the different words and slangs. And for me, in the case of Documenta, I think, like, wow, this is, it's not about changing the title and Documenta's name and 15. It's like really hiding beneath this title and then use all these words as a kind of, only as their use value, like because you use them in your daily life and in all the meetings. So they get a use, and they also the slang and everything. It's more powerful, I think, to use it like this then changing the big title. So it's really great. But I have a question about the word Lumbung, because I read in Miu's text that Lumbung is also used in Indonesia by a populist government, and they use it like in a this powerful way, because they say, okay, this is the new way that we govern Indonesia. So then it's reappropriated again. And I was just wondering, like, how do you use it in Indonesia, this word? If the popular government is taking away this word again from the people.
I haven't read Miu text, but which year that she mentioned about the government using the words of Lumbung?
It's a recent text that's...
Okay. I mean, Lumbung itself, actually, of course, the word is resembled to the barn, to the architecture, and where. So it's an object, but it's so practice. So the social value and the structure is embedded in one words. And of course, it's been a change a lot, and we just know actually it's been used more commonly in the textbook in the school, but because the practice already transforms so much, so wide, and within the contemporary society itself and the modern Indonesian people. And even in the local language, actually, it has so many words also, name also, which is... So Lumbung is a kind of common sense for Indonesian word, actually, which is locally in each island, in its tribes. They use different words as well. And there are so many words for this, actually, but we was researching as well, but I think then where, because Indonesia, that's one of the because so wide, so many, and it's kind of identical, very very much into each localities, but Lumbung is the whole. So why we, I think that's why we choose this word. To name the practice of the sharing, which is and also it's I think it's very important for us. It's nice to hear. So for us, it's really, I mean, because that's how let's say always Indonesian is. We say butterfly is kupu-kupu, no? So it's nice. And dolphin, lumba-lumba. So, you know, how it's oral, we are very oral and very much phonic.
Poetic, you mean.
Yeah, and what you call it, a phonic language. So we always use those. So we choose in a way as well that it has to be a certain values where it's nice for us to hear, and you know, it's so.
It's maybe it's nice to, because Catherine asked me to explain what jubilee means, and mm-hmm. it's nice to confront the two terms. So jubilee, so jubilee is a term which is at the same time a festive term. But it has a very old meaning. It was already used in Sumerian times as a word that meant a debt jubilee. So like every 7 years, the ruler would relieve all the people from their debts. And that was a very intense process because it meant that if people had lost their land or even they lost their children because they were so much in debt, every 7 years there was a total reset and then the children would return, the land was returned and everything was like it was before. And so it relieved all the tensions in society. And we thought that's a beautiful term. It's also a little bit hidden underneath the festive term of jubilee. So we thought, yeah, that can work well for us. So that's where the name derives from.
Yeah, and I added as well, then all those terms we use is a way of to make a paradox from the institutional practice that we are where the the documenta came by itself with. So I think we dismantle it into many practices by using the words, of course, which emphasize of these practices to to resist and the practice of the institution itself.
Yeah, I think introducing this whole series of concepts, this new semantics, I think it's scrutinized by a lot of people because it kind of is highlighting your relationship to the documenta institution, which in a way you turned around. You invited the documenta into your practice. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on how that process went. Was it immediately welcomed with open arms? Yeah, good idea. Or was it a bit scrutinized, like saying, is this a good idea that we're going to do this like this,
No, it was. I think, Ronnie, it was on the selection actually. Then we mentioned that. I think I remember it was during the second phase of the selection process, because we have to. I think it's three times we submit proposal first, very initial, and then they invite us to revise to make the second and the third where they ask us to submit again and then to do the interview also here in German. So I think at this the second step where actually because then we get sharper, because at the beginning we are just we just throw the dice. I mean we are not even thinking that maybe it's interested to them, because we started a bit back, I think, because we are building up the good school just a year, and where we rethinking a lot and how to work with these ideas of sharing practices with others, collective, building a collective of collectives, and how we live together with them. About already 3 years, we have the Gudang Sarinah, if you remember, the big space when we have to live and we move to others. New space, then. So then I think we should, because this only interested for us. If even we just make a joke, if we go to Germany, then our babies will be fucked up. I mean, yeah, because it's so much energy. No, I mean we have 1% thinking about that, but so it's only makes sense to continue what we did and give it to them, and yeah, so we asked them to be part of the
so you immediately took into account let's say the local practices that you were working on in Indonesia in case you would be invited to document how to create a dynamic between them. And that's actually a concept that you apply to all the people that you invited to create this reciprocity, this relation between a presence in Germany but also a presence where people come from. That the dynamic, there's a flow in two directions. It's not just building a show in Germany, but also creating a local dynamic for the people that you invited, right? That's
yeah, the for the first also it's important to mention because we also realize that the extraction power that will came from those documents that will be very very intense. So and they are, we know that they are powerful enough institution as well, so that's why it doesn't make sense if they didn't want to share and they just want to extract. So that's even, it's just before even we choose, and so we already mentioned that you have to agree that or willing to be part of the to share your resources with all the mechanism and the artists and so on. And that's related to the to your second question, because then from those Lembong values that Catherine already mentioned, I think there's one which is also very important, the local, it is the local context, which I think is a part of it. And it's really important because, again, then how to avoid those extraction, because, you know, so, and I remember when we start just in the tip of the beginning of the pandemic everywhere, so, and even we are struggle so much to survive there in back in Jakarta. And we know so many friends as well in many parts of the world who struggle so hard. And yeah, I think also we, and then when we appointed as artistic director, then we've been told that after the 14th, then actually you cannot, there is a law that in German you cannot bring the German money outside the German to make sure, but for us this is really important to how to support the localities where I mean it's as simple as thinking maybe just to add it infrastructure or even just so to use it without condition, even just we always encourage not to make a show with that, you know. It's just because you have another, so we divide the structure of the production into several. There are one is a big chunk for the production, and there is what we call the seed money. Seed money, yeah, which is, can be used unconditionally by all the artists, whatever, to survive, even just to buy bread, to buy rice, whatever. Yeah. Just you can use it. And the production, of course, it's necessary to make a production in Kassel. And the third is where the pot money is, the common pot. So all the artists take small amount of the same equal from their budget to put it in the common pot where it will have been governed and organized and with together with all the artists. So in a way, I think also we encourage, of course, we are not, but I think to be part of Documenta is really like, you know, then the problem, of course, that's where the problematic is, because then you are trying to push how far you can go. I mean, for the artists mostly, I mean, for sure. I mean, even it took so much, maybe the rest of the artists who are here, part of it can, but I think I remember, of course, even fighting to find a place, to find a space, because everyone wants to be in the center. Of course, those things are, we've gone through years more, how to deal with it, where. It's because we don't We don't chop off the cake, and like Reinhard, you are here, and you are here, and we just ask in what artists, they just come freely to choose the space, whatever. And yeah, it took a risk, it took a longer process, and more conflict, but I think at the end it came beautifully because they organized the space together, even they discussed, they you know. So.
And that's what happened in the Majelis, right?
So that's happened in the Majelis.
These kind of negotiations on how to attribute space in the city, but also how to use resources, persons, physical resources, but also budgets, that was negotiated through the Majelis, which as a as an extra complex added complexity was that they had to happen on Zoom, basically, because of the pandemic. I think that should be really taken into account at organizing a huge event like the Documenta on Zoom. Well, it's already complicated to do it in life, but if you do it on Zoom, it's even, incredible what you guys pulled off, basically.
I think we don't have this tradition in Indonesia. I mean, when... I don't know, but I'm sure with others, because we, during the Dutch colonial, I think we don't have such a big institution created by Dutch, especially in culture and arts. So I don't know, but I know, like in the British colony, they have such a quite, like when I stayed in India for 2-3 years when I studied there, it's quite clear they have very good institution to structuralize in culture, galleries, whatever, you know. Like, but Dutch we don't have so much. So I think in those tradition, I think that's the advantage for us as well, because historically, I would say post-colonially, then we don't have those structure which is brought by the Dutch during the colonial in terms of, you know, how... Even I think we have what we call societat de harmonie, where the Dutch artists at the time was gather, but it's just small space, maybe like this. Not even in Jakarta, even in the capital, is in Batavia, is something like this space. It's not that big like a national gallery or whatever. So and it's happened in few Dutch colonial city in Makassar and Surabaya and so on. But it's smaller, societat de harmonie. And yeah, I mean, also we don't have any curatorial studies in Indonesia during our age. I mean, maybe 10 years back then. There are few already started curatorial studies because many young artists, whatever, curators also studied here abroad and they came back. But I remember in the 90s, early 20s, also 2000, there are not so, there are no school which is Indonesian art school who teach curatorial studies. And
was that the motivation to start with Good School? Was that one of the motivations to start Good School?
No, actually, in Ruang Rupa, since very early 2000, we already start making a curatorial workshop, actually. We invite many people to talk about it. What is it? And then, you know, and slowly, as I mentioned last night, we're practicing it collectively together there. Just learning, try to understand by practicing itself, because we know most of the at the time most of the Indonesian curators as well is not studied curator. They studied politics, they studied ceramic, they studied art, you know, so not specifically as a, so it's very diverse perspective on how curatorial studies was or practices in Jakarta at that time. It's maybe completely different now with the young
people. Can I ask how you dealt with, because now you talk about curatorship, but it's like spread out curatorship. And when I thought about all these Majelis, like many people have assemblies together, And if I understood well, they had to decide among themselves like what to do with the seed money all together. So normally when there is like a chief curator in a big exhibition, they take they act like a kind of CEO, like a boss, but they also take the responsibility when things cannot get decided, when people are fighting over the money or places in the exhibition and so on. So how did you deal with all this? Because maybe people looked back at you when they had problems, like you are the curators, what should we do? So we are interested how you dealt with this dissensus that must have happened. Are people fighting? So how did that happen?
I was remember also someone, I think, told me that at the end of the selection, actually, when we, because all this question is, let's say, so you don't need exhibition, actually, when we presented the Lumbung, no? But then we have to explain when finally. But even when they're trying at the very last, I think, to decide us, Ruang Rupa at that time, they are really, I heard that they are really confused because there are no system to, especially even with the collective. Artistic director with the as a collective, and then it's just really new for them, and even they have to ask, they invite few experts, and then before they decide that Ruang Rupa will be chosen, and some of them really convince them that if you don't have system, then you have to make it new. And I think where that's also because it's very hard also for I can understand for the German institution, which is very rigid, very structured, to adopt and to deal with us with what we propose as well. And until now it's nothing is smooth, actually. Some, of course, with the Majelis board, with things, and still not yet resolved until now. Some are it in itself, the process is really a long process, struggle to be able to ready before 100 days, and also even during the 100 days we still struggle to negotiate with many things. And for them, let's say, which is very much quite shockingly, it's because we invite 77 artists, no? Officially something, 77, 76. At the time, we really tried to bring it down, the numbers and so on. But for them, it's really shock when the process of artists started coming to Kassel. It's more than 1,000, so it's really, you know, even in terms of accommodation, whatever, you know, they are not. They are not ready at the time to, because then it's never been multiplied as that much. We're talking only the artists, not the, you know, not the audience, but
Can I ask something about that? To what extent were all the participating artists ready to take part in this collective decision-making processes that I think, for instance, with Jubilee, but also with other artistic and infrastructural practices that I'm a part of, it's always very valued that it can take a long time and that those conversations can continue and can be collective and everybody has a voice. At the same time, not everybody is used to be able to take that role. And connected to that question, I've just a clarification question. Was there a financial remuneration to do the Majelises for all those artists involved?
Remuneration? No, I think. No. But on what basis? I think as to, I mean, this also the words, I mean, the quote that at the time we, I remember in Ruangrupa, the words make friends, not art. But it was actually a tape, I think I remember, a tape art, someone did it on the, our wall, make friends, not art. But I think, but that's clearly of what we, I mean, yeah, our, one of our much, I didn't say philosophical thing, but it's the way we work as well. I mean, that's why Ruangrupa is, in Jakarta, we have multiplied so many generation, youngs and whatever. So I think because one of those things is, yes, we just make friends, I mean, and not make art. I mean, so and so means that network is very much important, and where our base of work, how we live and how we survive, and on those, based on those values, I think that's where actually even, yeah, like we maintain, let's say with Reinhard van Hoed from Ock, it's more than 22 years that we work together, we know each other, and but we never make work together, no? So we don't, yeah, I mean.
But let's open up to the people in the room, and maybe Reinhard can also add on what we've been discussing. I'm sorry, still sleeping. So yeah, let's take some questions.
Yeah, we didn't have a wireless, so we had a long cable.
Hello. Thank you all, actually all of you, very much for organizing this situation. It already seems to be, I wasn't here last night, but I heard that I was also very informative and informal. I'm wondering about the informal nature of what's happening now, in contrast with what seems to be an emphasis on organization and administration in this conversation. And I just wanted to go back to two things that you said, and one of them was that you chose the name Lungbung, or you like this word Lungbung because it sounds good. And for me, that's very important, personally, as a formal or material gesture that comes out of this language and allows it to be adopted and allows it to be going around and shared by different people. So that, let's say, material gesture, material decision, feeds into the second part of this question. And I'm not completely aware of the proceedings today, and perhaps this question will already be answered or is planned to be answered later. I just wanted to go back to this point that you were saying, that Ronnie picked up on that and emphasized, that a large part of the idea of these collaborations that you went into with these 76, 77 artists were intended to produce work and material back home or in their own localities or in their own situations that they're coming from. I wanted to go back to that. I just wanted to ask if you could possibly describe two or three of those situations that I will also admit that I didn't go to this documenta, and I often don't go to biennials and these kind of situations because I find them very upsetting. And I've realized before it was too late, or it was already too late when I realized that this situation might not have been upsetting for me. I missed it. And I think we're living in times where we need to be fed by this kind of positive things that don't upset us, because so much of the world and the rhetoric of the world is geared to upset us on purpose because it produces attention, and we all know that. Anyway, so that was the question. Perhaps you might be able to describe one or two or three of these very specific situations, less about their organization and more about their material, how they manifest or how they sound or how they might be imagined for someone who wasn't there. Thank you.
Yes, but thank you. It's not too late, because I think, and you are not missed it as well, because what we think since very beginning, documentation is where it started, and you know, so the most important is what happened afterwards. And for these localities, is as I think last night I was mentioning as well, that we are encourage almost all the artists not to be extracted, and you have a burden to create a new works or commission by the documentary, but just bring whatever you have and you just continue practicing of what you have been done. So most of them actually, even let's say the kitchen, that the burrito and so on, it's been there before. It's not the new things, what let's say the Jatiwangi Art Factory bring with the break performance, this music and so on, and this ritual is there already. Also, if you remember the concert with the roof tile, it's been held in Indonesia 3-4 times before as well. So it's kind of because that's also important and interesting to other artists or collective who are there, you know, just to really been able to know and sharing the practices that you have honestly, without, you know, then because you have to create the new works, but that's what, this is what we do. And as a part of, I think it's important as well, because for your question, because we are emphasizing on the struggle of the artists, mostly, which we invite within there. As I mentioned last night, because we are not interested to work with artists which have a capital background with the galleries and so on, so those artists without this really struggle a lot in their localities, means then that's what we are interested as well. So emphasizing of how the power of struggle of those collectives and artists within their own context and locality, their social, politics, background, and economics, whatever in their country or in their space where they belong to. And that's actually, because of course, as Catherine already mentioned at the beginning as well, the struggle, no? I think, of course, it's different here in Europe. Of course, the context, each region or where they belong to, completely different. So I think that is the most important and the most interesting why we bring all of those, and we encourage them to show this. And so, yeah, it's, you not miss any special thing, because it's maybe, like Catherine says, it's cooking, it's a concert, singing, it's a party, it's a nongkrong, and, you know, just meeting people. So, yeah, of course, there is a show, there is object, there is painting inside the space, but the core of the soul of those, I think it's thing happening outside, actually. Mm-hmm. Then,
Maybe I can take it here to the audience, because I guess we were talking about the struggles and about the experience, and I would be very curious to hear from practices in the room that have experienced that here locally in Brussels, and how you kind of managed it, or how you went around with it. Maybe I see Heike. No, Heike has a beautiful space, but it's also not so obvious that you open up your own space, your own room, your own living environment. Yes.
Better for my back. I can say maybe something at that point, but I also somehow think that there was a second half of Will's question about the description of some kind of the materiality of a couple of practices in Indonesia. Maybe we can go back there later. So a materiality here, local, indeed, just another house. And originally a family house, like you can imagine a typical. So maybe I also say who I am. I'm Heike Langsdorf. My background is dance, performance, choreography. I did a lot of performative interventions in public space together with a collective for many years. However, I ended up as many half-time teaching. In my case, at CAS, School of Arts in Ghent, where I'm also co-coordinating the performance department. Just that, I don't assume that you know who I am, so that's good. But I had the opportunity to purchase a house together with an ex-partner. And it imagined like these typical Brussels mini family houses, so just smaller than the cool ones that have a lot of space, run down, very dark, but somehow orientated in a good light possibility, let's say. However, somehow we had to move there, and it was possible to purchase it, and the idea was to see if life there develops, if we could maybe change it into a structure or into, here in Belgium we say transform it, which means renovate it. I got lots of comments from other cultures that it's not a transformation. But so we renovated it with in mind having, it should serve more than family and more than intact family, but also more than broken family. However, the question was there how to use a space that is more than what you need for yourself. It's more than what you need to feel enough privacy and so on. How to live with such space in a challenging way for yourself first. So somehow we managed to transform it in a way that now it can be co-used. There is space enough that is... people can come work there, but also sometimes just come and sleep there because they don't manage to sleep at home. But lots of things happen around this house. It's called Radical House. It's in Ixelles, in around Place Flaget. But it's, what I can say that resonates with what we are talking here and what we also hear from you a lot repeated is that the informality that is necessary, I mean, that is just there, makes that lots of things are possible that in other places are not, and the other way around. Many things are also very confusing and very personal, and there are lots of things that are beautiful, but also lots of conflicts. So, the materiality, on one side, it's a house, and then on the other side, it's a question. How can just another house become a relational tool if we free it from these first notions of privacy and property? So how can it become a void and a gift to the other, but maybe also a provocation to the other? There are many questions that are generated. That's more like the speculative me that is talking. If I would be the confirming me, I would say, yeah, it's great, and many people are there, and we can help them and host them. Yeah. We will have like an informal moment there tomorrow. I don't know. You can all come. We can see what the house can take. At a certain moment, it would.
I was also, yes, sorry. I was also interesting because I think it's an interesting idea about the very small gesture. Well, small, it's not small for you, but like a smaller gesture and the large scale gesture of a documenta. But I don't want to take the space you, Bram.
No problem. Jack and I are staying at your place, which I understand now is the rice barn that we're actually sleeping in, because it's you have a surplus of space, so to say. And it's something that I haven't heard too much about yet, is this idea about the rice barn containing a surplus of a harvest. So it's about wealth. It's about that there is an excess of what's needed. So I'm wondering, is the rice barn full as well if the harvest is bad? Will there be excess, and how will this be redistributed? I also ask it because I find it interesting that in the concept of Lumbung, also documenta is a sort of living of the surplus of a community. So, which means if there would be a bad harvest or a bad economy, there maybe wouldn't be a surplus. So I'm interested in this, how do you say this, not only the redistribution of resources, but where do the resources come from? Does it belong to anyone? And is it also about redistribution of wealth, so to say?
I would say if like the farmers, I mean the village where there are droughts and there are no rain for the whole years, and so we don't have good harvests, which maybe small, not enough, so yeah, let's just sit and doing nothing. I mean, it's it's good to repause as well and rethinking of how I mean to survive, or even ask from support from the next village. But as well, talking about harvest, I think it's also not necessarily, I think, to always have a surplus, let's say, because then when you share the harvest, and I think that's what we all did here, especially with all the members, like with Subversif last night. We sharing the harvest from Mohanat's kitchen, and it's because as when you are trying to what I'm trying to say is I'm afraid that as well it can be back structured into a such kind of institution, you know, as a barn itself, as a Lumbung itself, but I would rather keep it more even open, even of course it's when you talk about wealth, as you mentioned, I mean I think it's not about the wealth itself, but I think the way to adapt to be able to regenerate yourself, and I mean wealth is luxurious for sure, but just enough to sustain, to continue your practice. I mean that's where mostly like us is continue. It's we always say Alhamdulillah because we can live tomorrow. I mean, we can eat tomorrow, so we can still be able to live to eat tomorrow. Is already Indonesian always say Alhamdulillah because then you know. So means it's you know it's even not thinking about the wealth, but you know, but to regenerate and just to sustain. In a very modest way, continuously. So I think that process, it's because when you thought about the mechanism really, then I'm afraid that as well it's become institutionalized and then, you know, so rather keep it open-ended and if, yeah, anyway, things are, we cannot live forever as well, so there's a time when it has to be ended also.
I would like to respond to the question as well because I feel there is often an imposed scarcity on us, like in the cultural sector with the funding and so on. So there is never enough for nothing. So, but we know that, of course, there is money available, but there is an imposed scarcity. And it also relates for us to Jubilee, but an inverse Jubilee. That's what you experience if the debt becomes too high, then there is too much scarcity. And then, for example, in 2008, we bailed out the banks instead of the people, what normally a Jubilee means. And David Graeber mentioned this in his book, like we are living through an inverse Jubilee. So it's not that debt was relieved from the people, but from the banks. And then there was even more scarcity and precarity for people, less subsidies for art and so on. So we're living through this kind of a cycle when the surplus doesn't end up in the rice barn anymore, but in the hands of a few investors or banks or privileged institutions, I would say. And if you speak about a common good, you have to be very careful about this accumulation of debts because then this common good can be appropriated. So it's a very fine balance between the two. And I really like the question about what happens if there is scarcity, what will be distributed then?
Basically, it was about preserving the current hegemony,
yes.
And which is also what we see in the documenta. It's a struggle to keep the current power relations going and try to limit the infractions or the changes, actually. And that's your question on redistribution is totally relevant, specifically in a context of crisis. If there is nothing to redistribute, how will we manage? And whatever is left will go to whom? So basically you're speaking about power relations because that's what happened in 2008 as well. The focus was on infrastructure, not on people. And yeah. And I think that's why it's so relevant to pose all these questions, basically infrastructural questions, because that's how our societies are governed, and that's in the end how the world is governed, through these infrastructures that are just follow the money, basically. It's a stupid expression, but it's really very revealing in a way. And that's why it's so important also what you mentioned, that it was forbidden for money to leave Germany after the previous document on number 14, because I think there was too much spending. So if I'm correct, they changed the law for that because you kind of put the force on it or keep questioning this impossibility because of the COVID situation. People were suffering.
Since already.
Oh, okay.
After the
yeah. Yeah. But there was to refer to your question. I think if there was an organization that managed to actually buy an infrastructure in their homeland with this German funding. Is that correct? Or am I making up things now?
Infrastructure, yes. I mean, it's unconditionally, but that money is not enough to buy a line. But some I struggle to get. Of course, it's not using because the money is only, I think, the seed money is something 20,000, so it's not enough to buy a line, but in small infrastructure, yes. I mean, like, but not.
No, but it's helpful.
I think yes, because it's can be used for investment for sure, and or yes.
Other questions.
Hi there. My name's Andre, and I'm a member of the Artist Commons, which is a group of artists that come together to open up dance floors in Brussels. Currently, we're moving to 123 Troon. And in my experience in commoning, I found that working with people can be a bit difficult because people are messy, their lives change very suddenly, their values are not always transparent. People have difficulties communicating or different resources and time available. And I found that the most consistent thing that energy can be put into is space. It's easier to build a kitchen and for the kitchen to remain the same than it is to come up with agreements with a group and for the agreement to remain the same. But then when I'm looking at the common pot, it brought up this question that has come up recently on how can we as a group value collectively what each person has to bring within our common endeavor. And I found that to be relatively challenging in terms of an agreement. And I just wanted to know more about the common pot and how this highly symbolic element kind of comes together in smaller and larger scales.
Thank you, but yes, it's interesting. I think last night we discussed a bit as well on this, and of course it's the pot itself is not only it's non-monetary as well included and it's at the beginning as Rim Shila was mentioning last night that it's not that easy as it took some time for sure as you say to be able to trust your co-workers and this even also there is a risk that of course might succeed or might not, but what I would like to point it out or highlight is more because I think it's in a way we try to keep it as natural as possible, so if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. So then you have to change the group, or you have to change your coworkers and from all those mini majelis group, also not all is work. Let's say. Well, I mean, there are work groups which as well just grouping, but not really work as a group, as a collective group. It's more the individual because we have to be in a group. So let's say, but some are really there are which really even. Lively continue, and so I think those challenges, of course, it's exactly as what you say, And we are not imposing that this has to be succeeded as well. So in a way, it's really natural process. So I think maybe if I would not evaluate, but look what has been built until now with the relationship, I think then things are started. Because grouping by itself, you know, so to which artists can work together to so it's shaping, and it still takes time more because it's only just still less than 2 years. So I think it 2 years. Let's say we work less than 3 years now. We are coming to the third year. Working together, and for all the members, I think it's still testing in times in to build the trust, and you know, and also.
I think and we will learn.
In Ruang Rupa as well, I think only a trust which is keep us, you know, solid until now. I mean.
I just wanted to say that after this talk, we will talk to Reinhard and Marielle, and they experienced that, and maybe we can talk a little bit also with you about that reality of that the sharing. And I was wondering, just shortly, then I will give back. We have 15 minutes left, then we have a break, and then we start again. Is there an archive? Because I think you pointed at an archive. I mean, like, how was the practice that for sure... emerged there? Were they archived? Were they collected? Is there any way that somebody like Andrew could like look into at the harvest? I think that is the archive that is there for people to look into. Is there, or maybe I didn't understand something?
Not only maybe the archive, but it's part of the question, of course. But also, I think there's an issue of temporality, as we can read also on the door of Subversive Film at the kitchen there's a poster that says Lumbung continues, or so it's really in the present tense, and this idea that as you mentioned also today. It's not something that is past. There is an ongoing process. People will bring back not only experience, but will probably remain connected. So it's a question about the archive, I would say. Where can it be seen, possibly online? And then how did Ruang Rupa already kind of projected a sort of... network remaining connected? Is there a tool for that? Is there something that has been implemented? How do you plan it to survive to the event or to the 100 days? Yeah, the futurity of Lumbung as such, is it something that you have planned in a, okay, I don't know how, or is it something which is more like a wish?
Okay, for one, first is for the archival, yes. I mean, we, normally like what Documenta did, they took all the archive and they put it in the Documenta archive. And then you have to get the permission, whatever, to come. But we are trying now, we still not finished to collecting all the harvests, but some of them already... you can share in the lumbung.space, you can see it some. It's now maybe not really active at the moment because everyone is take a break, but there where actually you can see what things going on and if there are harvests, whatever will be placed there. And some of the harvests which is happening in the Ruhr House, you can see in the Ruhr House. Of course, also now is in the transition, so it's in a pause, nothing new, but at least what already been in 100 days, you can just come and see.
And these are two things, and we try to consolidate as well to be able to share all the harvests in the Lumbung Dot space in the future. And yes, Vincent, your question. I think as we are now resetting quite a lot for the Lumbung, I mean, even for the Lumbung Dot space itself, we are now also resetting, because then, as Bram say as well, no, what's the name that about the crisis in times of crisis, but yeah, because now when things already independent and start to work within itself ecosystem, with we talk about the Lumbung Press last night, let's say, and Lumbung Radio, and so those and Lumbung Film and whatsoever. So I think those are a challenge as well to be able to sustain and continue the practices. And some are finding their own, like Lumbung Radio. I think now in Helsinki with Common Station, they just told me last year that they got a few small funding from their ecosystem to be able to survive to make a program for next 2 years. So I think, yeah, so these are tested and challenged in its own way, where we try to nurture, we try to help each other, but we don't know as well, actually, to be honest.
So for those who were not yet yesterday with us, this Lumbung Press is a printing machine offset that has been bought and put into common shared for all the artists, all the collective present in Documenta, with a binding machine and so on. So the whole chain of production for printing. And so this machine that was situated in the Halle in Documenta, and that was used continuously by the artists, could produce whatever they wanted, posters and publications. And it's now transferred to Barcelona at Hangar, I think, at the moment. So it's one of the example of let's say a machine or infrastructure that is shared, but there is also the film program that Iswanto just alluded, that is also something that can travel to different places in the world, where any participant can show actually films from colleagues. So it's a sort of touring program where you can show every film that was, or even films that artists want to share with their colleagues. So there's some of the infrastructure, but also I think we need to, and I just wanted to react also on what you said, Will, I find it kind of sad that someone like you didn't go to Documenta, and I wonder to what extent is not something such a decision polluted by actually disinformation. And for someone who is editing discursive content, text and poetics, I can understand that the Lumbung is also something that resonates on a poetic level. But I'm kind of worried also when I talk to colleagues to see that some people really well informed kind of dismiss Documenta by just like, you know, hearing, being disinformed. And I think that maybe it's not this, and I hope of course it's for other reason, but I think that it really shows also how we need to think about all the mediations and the tools that are sometimes disregarded also by artists, because they kind of look at it as communication,
But we see how much actually Documenta was attacked, and this will be one of the issues for this afternoon, how it was attacked on different levels, and how the media has kind of tried to, and saying the media is already problematic because it's kind of creating a sort of hole, but how some individuals have attacked the organization, and we have to wonder and we have to raise a question and try to understand why it happened, based on what, and to what extent it speaks about white Europe also as a sort of a bastion, a sort of fortress that doesn't really want to change, or to what extent it's ready to really raise the issue of why this Documenta was so different, so transformative, and so so appealing for some of us.
Yes, maybe it's a good last word, but I would like to give the last word to somebody here if there's a need for more questions, and otherwise I would say have a joyful moment outside, drink coffee, talk. Wrong. Yes. And come back, we'll be back at 12:15 for the next discussion or conversation with Reinhard and Marielle. And thank you so much, everybody here, and thank you so much. And I hope to see you all back.